Suns Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the December 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Coming up on Thursday's show, Milwaukee Bucks basketball star Giannis Antetokounmpo turns in a career high scoring performance. I'll talk UEFA Champions League football with my VOA colleague Mukbil Yabaro, and we remember Brazilian football great Pelé. Pro basketball, Giannis Antetokounmpo scored a club record 64 points Wednesday night to lead the Milwaukee Bucks to a 140-126 victory over the visiting Indiana Pacers. He broke the Bucks club record of 57 points set by Michael Redd in 2006. Giannis says Milwaukee's head coach Adrian Griffin kept him in late in the game to get the record.
2 points away from the franchise record, and I told him, like, coach, I'm good. Like, because I knew that it was the time for me to get the sub. It's like, no, you're 2 points away from the franchise record, get it. And I was like, phew. You know, I've never been in that position before. And I was like, okay, great, I'll go try to get it.
It was a very physical game, and at the end, the Pacers took the game ball. That led to an incident by the locker room between the two teams because Antetokounmpo wanted the ball after his record-breaking performance. Bucks guard Damian Lillard comments.
Maybe they felt like he should have been out of the game, and, you know, he was trying to get points or whatever, so they did something like that. They took the ball and said, our rookie scored his first NBA points, when it's like, you know, this dude just scored 60, you know what I mean? So, but that's part of the league, you know, that's the gamesmanship, that's the pettiness.
Meanwhile, Pacers head coach Rick Carlisle sounds like he's downplaying the pettiness.
It was Oscar Tshiebwe's first NBA, official NBA point, so we always get the game ball. We were not thinking about Giannis's franchise record, so we grabbed the ball, and a couple of minutes later, several of their players ended up in our hallway.
Elsewhere around the NBA Wednesday night, Cameroonian stars Joel Embiid and Pascal Siakam had big scoring nights to help lead their respective teams to victories. Embiid fired in 41 points in Philadelphia's 129-111 win over the host Detroit Pistons. It was Detroit's club record 21st consecutive loss, and Siakam tallied a team-high 33 points for the Toronto Raptors as they beat the visiting Atlanta Hawks 135-128. The six other winners in the NBA Wednesday night were New Orleans, Miami, the Los Angeles Lakers, Houston, Utah, and Brooklyn. In more NBA news, Golden State Warriors star Draymond Green has received another suspension, as we hear now from the AP's Dave Ferry.
Warriors forward Draymond Green has received an indefinite suspension from the NBA for hitting Suns center Yusuf Nurkic in the face during Tuesday's game. Nurkic fell to the ground instantly but remained in the game. The flagrant 2 foul led to the 18th ejection of Green's career, most among active players. The league noted that the length of the suspension takes into account Green's repeated history of unsportsmanlike acts. Green's second suspension of the season began immediately. He received a 5-game ban in November. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. World football was in mourning at the start of 2023. On January 3rd, football legend Pelé was buried in Santos, Brazil. Pelé died December 29th, 2022, at the age of 82, after a battle with colon cancer. Pelé had fans all over the world, including South Africa, where he crept into the hearts of millions of South Africans in the build-up to the 2010 World Cup hosted by the Rainbow Nation. Pelé supported an African bid to stage the tournament from the very beginning, encouraged by South Africa's first democratic president, Nelson Mandela. in this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2023, Darren Taylor reports Pele made many friends during numerous visits to South Africa after apartheid ended in 1994.
Cruzou para trás, dominou, fez o passe do Pelé, furou, voltou, Pelé emendou lá dentro! Gol!
Augusto Palacios says he fell in love with football and with Pelé when he watched him score a hat-trick against France in the 1958 World Cup semi-final. His 8-year-old eyes gazed at the TV screen in awe as the 17-year-old Brazilian tormented the French. Pelé's team would go on to beat Sweden in the final, with Palacios later finding a place in the midfield of Peru's national team.
In 1973, I had the opportunity to play against him. And obvious, I meet him, obvious, in Argentina. In Buenos Aires, also I meet him when I was the team manager, Mafana Afan, in the World Cup in France, and also in Confederation.
Palacios was 21 when he lined up for his Peruvian club, Sporting Cristal, against Pelé's Brazilian side, Santos, in a Copa Libertadores fixture. The Copa Libertadores is South America's equivalent of the African Champions League. Palacios says he was surprised by Pelé's relatively small stature.
His height was 1.73, but the way he jumped over the ball, looking the goal he scored in 1970 against Italy, the heading goal, it was unbelievable. The body aspect, the strong with the ball to protect the ball and the dribbling, unbelievable. And remember also...
He laughs and says he couldn't touch Pelé on the field and had to make do with handshakes and backslaps off the pitch.
His background is unbelievable. He never lost this passion or humble aspect from where he came, because he came from very, very poor family. He was a very, very poor person, you know, who was selling a newspaper and magazine and clean shoes in the street. Age 13 years is when...
According to the Peruvian, it says a lot about the kind of person Pelé was that he chose to remain loyal to Santos rather than moving to a top European club. One can only imagine, says Palacios, what Pelé could have achieved with Real Madrid, for example. Yet, says Palacios, Pelé's name still became synonymous with the beautiful game, and he won every trophy he ever competed for.
5 Copa Libertadores, 2 Intercontinental Cup, 3 World Cup, top goal scorer, 1,000, 2,000 goals. He was my hero. I can't copy him, but I can enjoy watching him.
Another South African footballing personality who interacted with Pelé is Kaiser Motohong, the founder of top club side, Kaiser Chiefs. In 1968, Motong was playing as a 24-year-old striker for Atlanta Chiefs in the United States.
Santos drove hard against the Chiefs to keep their lead. Pelé, number 10, maintained his standing as the world's number one player.
Grainy archive footage shows Pelé bursting through the Chiefs' defense to smash the ball into the net past an onrushing goalkeeper. Motong says he remembers almost every second of the game.
The occasion itself was unbelievable because we knew that we're not only playing against a team called Santos, we're playing against the greatest of all time.
He says the tens of thousands of fans in the stadium had obviously come to see Pelé, and Pelé only, and that was just fine by him.
They beat us 6-2. And he scored about 3 goals. I must say I was very happy because I also scored 1 goal in that game.
As a football administrator, Motong met Pelé on many occasions, especially during the 2010 World Cup in South Africa.
He was an unbelievable character, on and off the field. But off the field, he was such a humble person, you would not believe that he was a top athlete throughout the world and somebody who was seen as the best in the whole world.
Motong says of all the famous political figures, musicians, authors, and sports people he's met, Pelé remains the only one he places on the same pedestal as Mandela. A global icon, but with the humanity and humility to make everyone around him feel significant. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Thanks, Darren. Pelé's impact and influence was big in South Africa and throughout the African continent, as we hear now from the chief football writer at ACLSports.com, Fisayo Dairo.
The whole of Africa saw Pelé as one of their own. Being a black South American, they embraced him. He traveled down to the African continent a lot of time. He came to Nigeria 4 times in the 60s and 70s. He came with Santos to play against Nigeria's Green Eagles in 1969 January, and he still came back a month later to play in Benin City. And then in 1976, Pele came to Ibadan in southwestern Nigeria to teach school children the art of playing football. And then 3 years later, in 1979, he was in Kaduna, northern Nigeria, where Santos also played against Raka Rovers. So it was an amazing feeling for those that were alive that time to welcome the legend. Africans see him as the greatest ever, undoubtedly the best that will ever be. And that's why even in Ghana, one of their greatest footballers, Abedi Ayew, was nicknamed Pelé. So many people didn't know. You would have thought his name was Abedi Pelé, as he was fondly called across Africa. That is the kind of influence that Pelé held among Nigerians and our Africans, to be precise. His death, of course, has devastated many, but we'll continue to remember him for years to come.
That's Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com.
Sporty greetings. This is Fisayo Dairo, chief football writer at ACLSports.com, and you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
UEFA Champions League football group stage action has come to an end in Europe's top club competition. Joining me now for some insights is my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro. Sporty greetings, Mukbil.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Let's begin with the 16 teams that are through to the knockout stage. How about running them down for our Sunny Side of Sports listeners, Mukbil?
Absolutely. So the teams that have qualified for the knockout phase, if I were to go by just splitting them up by country, from the English teams, it's Manchester City and Arsenal. From Spain, it's Real Madrid, Real Sociedad, Barcelona, and Atletico Madrid. Germany, it's Bayern Munich, RB Leipzig, and Dortmund. From the Netherlands, it's PSV Eindhoven. Italy has 3 teams that are in: Inter Milan, Lazio, and Napoli. Denmark has 1 team, Copenhagen. France has PSG, and Portugal has Porto.
Well, Mukbil, let's begin with your favorite team, the Gunners of Arsenal. They drew 1-1 with PSV Eindhoven. Both teams already through to the knockout stage when that match was played. But I guess it was kind of a new look Gunners squad in that match.
Yeah, coach and manager Arteta did was he brought 3 younger players from the they're not originally on that senior squad. They're from the academy. And he brought them on a trip with him, and he had planned on, you know, using them. But he kind of said after the fact that maybe this wasn't the right game to get them into, simply because sometimes when you expose, like, really young players to games of that caliber, it's a PSV Eindhoven team that has not lost at home in champs. They haven't lost in a while, actually, even in regular competitions at home. So I think he didn't really want to break the morale of these younger players. Sometimes if you put them in a game like this and they don't really perform, maybe they might start second-guessing themselves. So it's kind of like, how do we integrate them into the senior squad while still, you know, helping them build their, you know, their understanding and how that we can really implement them in the senior squad without them really losing a little bit of themselves. Sometimes what happens is when you have a young player like that, if they end up having one poor game, it kind of really, you know, throws them off a little bit. So he's just being mindful, but he brought them on the trip with them, and they've seen the entire experience of the Champs League experience. That in and of itself is gold.
Mukbil, Manchester City kind of has had its problems in the Premier League, but currently fourth on the table in the EPL, has 3 losses in the Premier League. But in the Champions League, Man City completed an unbeaten run on Wednesday with a 3-2 victory over Red Star Belgrade. Your thoughts on that match?
Yeah, Sonny, I think for me, Man City has shown that, you know, with the level of difficulty it is for any team to come back off of a treble win, and with their issues as it pertains to injuries as well, they're doing as best as they can. You know, in the EPL, they're still around that top area, and I think they are going to make more of a push as some of their players, their key players, start coming back from injuries and such. But their group really in Champs League was a relatively easier group, and that kind of helped them get through a bit. And even if we look at who scored for them, City had Hamilton, Bob, and Phillips, who aren't their usual goal scorers either. So, yeah, they have a plethora of talented players across the board that really, any one of them can show up at any given night. So that's the one plus that City has. And they have such big name players that really take attention away from, some of the smaller players sometimes. So if Haaland is being doubled or tripled, you know, it'll leave a couple of people open. So that's always helpful.
Mukbil, why don't you pick out maybe one or two other matches this week that really caught your eye in terms of competitiveness or for other reasons?
If I were to pick some game, I would say competitiveness, maybe that Porto versus Shakhtar Donetsk, if I'm saying that correctly. 5-2 for Porto, 5-3. Is how the game ended. To me, that's high scoring, you know, exciting game. Everybody loves seeing goals. Porto finishing off first in that group. I think that was a very good game, that I personally enjoyed myself. Another game I would say is, Dortmund versus PSG. Both teams that qualified from that Group F group, which I would call one of the groups of death, really, because it was Dortmund, PSG, Newcastle, and AC Milan. Really, really good quality teams. And for both these teams to come out shows, you know, that they really are locked in. The game ended 1-1. First goal was scored by Dortmund in the 51st minute by Adeyemi. And then PSG had their young star, Zaire Emery, who scores 5 minutes later in the 56th minute. That kid is somebody who we're going to be watching for a while. I know a lot of teams are excited about him and looking to try to pick him up and move him from PSG. I believe Arsenal is one of them as well. They've had links to him for a while, so we'll see if he makes his way to the EPL. But I think those are my games that I was really excited about.
What about the goal scoring chart, Mukbil? Who were the top goal scorers during this group phase of the UEFA Champions League?
At the moment, we have a collective group of 5 goals. We have this Antonio Griezmann and Alvaro Morata, both from Atletico Madrid, who have scored 5 goals apiece at the top, as well as Erling Haaland from Man City and Rasmus Højlund. So we have Haaland and Højlund and the 2 players from Atletico Madrid that all have 5 goals at the top. You have another collective that have 4 goals each. That's Julian Alvarez from City, Jude Bellingham from Real Madrid, Evan Nilsson from Porto, Galeno from Porto, Gabriel Jesus from Arsenal, Harry Kane from Bayern, Luis Openda from Leipzig, and Danilo Seacan from Shakhtar. So those are the players at the top of the goal-scoring list at the moment. A few of those teams that I've mentioned, like Shakhtar, I don't believe will be in. United is not going to be in. The rest of these players have potential to continue to add to their goal scoring.
Based on this group phase, Mukbil, which teams do you think can really feel good about themselves, you know, brimming with confidence as we look forward to the knockout stage?
If I were to say, I'm really liking, you know, Arsenal. This is the first time Arsenal is in the Champions League, is back in the Champions League since 2017. And they really, you know, asserted, you know, some kind of dominance in their group, you know, ending in their group at the top spot. Another team I would say would probably be Real Madrid. Real Madrid was also went undefeated in all their matches. I would say Bayern was also undefeated coming out of their group as well, and their group was the group that had Man United in it with Galatasaray and Copenhagen. City is still showing that from a Champions League perspective, they're also undefeated, but like I said, they really weren't necessarily tested as much as maybe some of the other groups. But hey, that's what you get, you know, when you do last year's winners. So you can't really knock City out as well. Porto is another team that I'm going to be very interested in watching. And maybe Napoli as well, with Osimhen being the African Player of the Year and having scored as well. So look to see him perform well. But I will say this though, Sonny. For the round of 16, when the draws happen, an interesting format maybe that some folks might not be familiar with is that teams from the same country cannot be drawn against each other. So let's say the teams that won in the first place teams versus the second place teams are the ones that are going to be playing against each other. And if a draw happens that maybe two teams from the same country get drawn, it has to be a redraw.
Okay.
So that's something that's pretty cool. I guess it's pretty cool because, you know, this is the Champions League, not the league of, you know, a specific country, at least in the knockout phase, bringing, you know, different countries to each other, bringing fan bases, mixing it all in. And then, you know, if two teams from the same country end up playing each other further down the road, then that's something completely different.
Finally, Mukbil, when will the draw for the knockout stage take place?
The round of 16 draw will take place on Monday, December 18th at the House of European Football in Nyon, Switzerland. So it'll be on Monday, December 18th.
Talking UEFA Champions League football with Mukbil Yabaro. Thanks, Mukbil.
Thanks, Sonny.
Onija Zani, a self-taught professional roller skater from Lusaka, Zambia, is using innovative technology to bring the sport to life. In an interview with VOA's Paul Endijo, Onija talked about learning to roller skate and attracting more people to the sport. Here's Paul.
It started out as a hobby for you going to school, but you've since turned this passion into a sport where you have signed up young people across the country. Bring us up to speed.
Ever since a friend of mine taught me how to skate, I've been striving to keep up with the skill and also practice with the same skill within my community. So every time after practicing or during practicing, there's always this attraction of the sport to bring people to join. So apart from that also, I've seen people wanting to be recruited in the skating business. And with that, I can say it has brought a lot of people, not only within Lusaka where I stay, but also people out of Lusaka in different other provinces. People who roller skate, they get in touch with me. I do help them with some videos, just to use them as a reference point for them to learn more about roller skating, and also link ups when they come within the capital city of Zambia in Lusaka. We have an opportunity to skate together.
What does it take to be a terrific roller skater?
As for me, I can say I've been skating for more than 19 years. So it's not something that it's gradual, or everyone who would hear my opinion would say it's difficult because they'll say I've been skating for a long time. But it is not that difficult. It is actually easy. It's not scary because people think of the falling part as the first element when they say roller skating, even skateboarding. So with that phobia, they tend to shy away and say, I don't want to learn anything that will hit me. We all know during any learning lesson, doesn't matter what sport it is, there are always challenges and there are always failures. You fall, you will have challenges and problems at some point, which I'm not saying that you actually cease to do the sport if you have all those fallings. They're just minor. Then afterwards, you eventually improve and progress. So on my part, until now, I would say I do fall when I'm trying something way more extreme. But knowing that if I do not try that, I won't become a better roller skater. Same with my students, whom I teach in Zambia. They are good skaters, but with more having intrinsic motivation, they have managed to excel even way better than me.
How many people have you trained this far?
Let me approximate. So approximating, I'll say maybe 600 plus. Because aside from me doing the club training with people within my community, I also do offer like private lessons. So for the private lessons, there are many. And over the years, which I was also using for the sake of my fundraising at school, the University of Zambia, as you know, I was never accommodated there. I was roller skating, going and coming back. That was also part of my marketing, that people would see me, I was skating, and therefore they want some lessons. And through that, I would divide my time during my education time with also my lesson time that people would come for private lessons, and I would use that as a fundraising venture.
So if I hear you correctly, you've already inspired hundreds of young people across Zambia. And these are people who are doing it for fun and at a professional level.
True. I would say, yes, that's true. Because majority of them, they have improved their skills. Even the babies, the ones I teach, they were young when we were starting. But if you see how many years, about 5 years passed, they have been so good that they are even better than some of the big guys who are joining recently. And they've maintained their skills so abruptly.
Is this something where people pay a fee, or it's one of those things where you offer to the community?
With that, I would say it's divided into two sectors or two parts. So for the community part, I do not charge any amount from them. I don't charge them any amount. They actually come to my club and they learn for free. So far, openly, I would say there's a company called Six Light Media that have helped us to purchase, one, some outfits, some protectors, helmets, and also gloves, inclusive some roller skating shoes, which we normally now use on a daily basis to empower some of the kids, not only in the compound that I stay. There are like different other six compounds which I am running and influencing within Lusaka and also out of Lusaka.
That's Onija Zani, a professional roller skater. And Onija spoke with VOA's Paul Ndiho from Lusaka, Zambia. And that wraps up the December 14th edition of the show. Thanks to producer and Sunny Side of Sports analyst Mukbil Yabaro. Thanks also to engineer Saida Hamdoun. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.